our schedule today will be a talk by Brother Allen. The first one will be 15 minutes, and the subject for the occasion is evil speaking. And after that, I think we decided about a 10-minute break. Is that right, Brother Allen? And then following the break, we'll have an opening hymn and his second talk. And we'll introduce that when the time comes. So now we give the podium to Brother Allen.
Any corrections to make? Morning, brother. Good to be together again. Start by quoting from 1 Peter 3, 8 through 11. All of you should be of one mind, quick to sympathize, kind to the brethren, tender-hearted, lowly-minded, not requiting evil with evil, nor abuse with abuse, but on the contrary, giving a blessing in return, because the blessing is what you have been called by God to inherit. Then Peter quotes from Psalm 34, "For he who wishes to be well satisfied with life and see happy days, let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful words. Let him turn from evil and do good. Let him inquire for peace and go in pursuit of it." The apostle is here telling us that if we are all of one mind, that is, if we are putting on the mind of Christ, then we will inherit a blessing. He is helping us to see more clearly the path to God's blessings of happiness and peace. And one of the obstacles to the attainment of these blessings that he counsels us to avoid is evil speaking. The apostle Paul puts the matter about as plain as it can be put in Titus 3:2, when he counsels us to not speak evil of anyone. Paul states the matter in the positive sense in Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Now we will add our Lord's words to help us appreciate the gravity of the subject and bring it into focus, from Luke 6:45 and 46. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." We could quote many more scriptures at the outset, but I think we understand that our Lord does not look kindly on evil speaking, so neither should we. But what is evil speaking so we can do our best, very best, to avoid it? We can give a simple but broad definition, which we can use as a high standard in all situations, one that is in harmony with the Bible and Brother Russell's writing. Evil speaking is saying anything that puts another person in a bad light. Before we say anything about anybody, we need to do a mental evil speaking check against the standard, just like we might do a spell check before sending an email message. One way to do this is to think, would our Lord say this if he was here? But are there any exceptions to this standard? The only exception is when someone else would be harmed if we did not tell the matter to others. When someone might be harmed by our not speaking, then justice, wisdom, and love command us to speak. For instance, if we are a witness to a crime, it would be our duty to society to speak of the evil and to report it, because it would be in best interest of society to restrain someone from committing further crimes. If we did not speak, society and the criminal would both suffer loss. Society would be harmed by the criminal's unjust crimes, and the criminal would have the sin more and more ingrained in his character. So this case is not evil speaking, because we would be speaking justice and righteousness, not evil. So that seems clear enough. Before we speak, we merely ask ourselves, would what we are about to say put anybody in a bad light? Yes, then we should not say it. Pretty simple. Simple to say, but not so easy to do. But why isn't it simple? Because we are surrounded by a false worldly standard that bombards us in the office, in the media, and in the community, with continual evil speaking. Also, because our flesh is fallen, we have a great work to do to bring the tongue under the control of a new creature. James tells us this in the third chapter of his general epistle. For we often stumble and fall, all of us. If there is anyone who never stumbles in speech, that man has reached maturity of character and is able to curb his whole nature. Remember that we put the horses' bits into their mouths to make them obey us, so we turn their whole bodies around. So too with ships, great as they are, and often driven along by strong gales, yet they can be steered with a very small rudder, in whichever direction the caprice of the man at the helm chooses. In the same way, the tongue is an insignificant part of the body, but it is immensely boastful. Remember how a mere spark may set a vast forest in flames. James gives us an excellent hint on how we can work on controlling the tongue so that we can obey our master and avoid evil speaking. What is the bridle of the tongue? What is the helm of the ship? What controls all of our body members? It is our will. We need to exercise our will to control our mind to enable us to control our tongue. If a horse rider drops the reins or a helmsman ignores the helm, neither of them will get to where they want to be. We want to be with our Lord, and it is our will that will take us home by being faithful by His grace. What is the best antidote to evil speaking? Brother Russell tells us in a reprint of 5122. Evil speaking begins with evil surmising. Evil surmising consists in imagining evil motives to be behind the words and acts of others. We must put away all anger, malice, hatred, and strife by developing and maintaining a pure heart, a pure mind, a pure character. We must cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, especially love, and one way to do that is to impute good motives to others. And I appreciated this from our pastor. We must recognize the fact that there are divine commands with principles behind them, and that these principles are to be incorporated into our characters. In other words, we are to have the mind of Christ. We know that to put on the mind of Christ, we need to put on agape love. I love the Moffat translation of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, which describes agape love this way. Love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy. Love makes no parade, gives itself no airs, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears. Now, regarding cultivating love in our heart, I'd like to quote the reformer John Wesley from his sermon, The Cure of Evil Speaking. But see that the manner also wherein you speak be according to the gospel of Christ. Avoid everything in look, gesture, word, and tone of voice that savors of pride or self-sufficiency. Studiously avoid everything magisterial or dogmatical, everything that looks like arrogance or assuming. Beware of the most distant approach to disdain, overbearing, or contempt. With equal care, avoid all appearance of anger. And though you use great plainness of speech, yet there be no shadow of hate or ill will, no bitterness or sourness of expression, but use the air and language of sweetness as well as gentleness, that all may flow from love in the heart. End quote. Now, if we have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, there is a very simple process that the Lord Himself laid down for us in Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, brethren, do we use that simple process enough? It shouldn't be overused. In general, our brotherly love should throw the mantle of charity over our brethren's trespasses. But there are occasions where we need to follow this process that our Master gave us. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given it. What does it take us what does it take to follow Matthew 18:15 in the correct way? I believe it takes all the fruits of the Spirit, as given in Galatians 5:22. Dive what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, fidelity, meekness, self-control. And I would add courage. It takes courage to have self-control to go to a brother or a sister in a loving way to gain their brother. Do you know that in addition to the Matthew 18 process, there is a hard and fast rule in the Scriptures that if always followed will keep us from evil speaking? It is given by our Lord in Matthew 7:12 as one of the primary rules that will govern us if we are under the law of justice and love. We all know it. It's called the Golden Rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In applying the Golden Rule to evil speaking, we can say that we obviously should never tell an untruth, but also should never tell an uncomplimentary truth, except as noted earlier, when to not speak would be harmful. 6th volume, page 406. To tell uncomplimentary truth is to violate the law of love, the Golden Rule. 6th volume, page 376. The new creature finds that if he would like the brethren to act kindly to him and speak gently to him, so he should speak and act kindly and gently to them. If he would like to have them be patient with his imperfections and weaknesses, and to draw the mantle of charity over these human defects, so he should be toward them. He finds that as he would not like to have the brethren speak evil of him, even if the evil were true, so he should be kindly affectionate toward them. And as he would not like to have others expect him more than he could reasonably do, so he would not expect of others more than they could reasonably do. The same principle would operate also in respect to the world and its affairs. In closing, I'd like to relate a fable to illustrate the subtle danger of evil speaking. I cannot recall where I read this fable, though I have looked high and low for the source. Perhaps one of you can recall, but I will have to tell it from memory. Once upon a time, a schoolboy was caught by a teacher spreading evil speaking around the school. So his teacher brought him to the wise old sage of the village to help break him of this habit. After hearing the matter, the sage disappeared into his home, returning promptly with a cloth sack full of the lightest, softest goose down feathers, which he handed to the boy. "My boy, I want you to put one goose feather on the front steps of every home in the village and report to me at 8 o'clock in the morning for your next instruction." The boy thought that this was a strange request, but he knew better than to debate with the wise old sage, so he went off to carefully place a goose feather on all of the front steps of the village. He reported promptly at 8 o'clock the next morning for the sage's next instruction. The sage said, "Now I want you to go around and gather up all the goose feathers you spread around the village yesterday." Now this was more than the boy could take. "But sir, a great wind came up in the night, and I am positive the goose feathers, being so light and easily spread, have been scattered all over the village and all over the countryside as well. As much as I would like to be able to recover them, I am sure that I could never bring those goose feathers back to you." The wise old sage looked the boy in the eye and said, "Nor can we ever recover the evil words we speak." And the boy was never heard to speak evil again.
Okay. Thanks, Brother Alan. We'll have a 10-minute break, and as I said before, following the 10-minute break, Brother Alan will be giving me another talk, which we will introduce. And for Brother Alan's information, that story came from, as far as I can remember, one of Brother Seclemian's talks.
Oh, really? Okay.
So maybe we talked about that or something. Anyways, next time I hear it, it sounds right on the money as far as the...
I'd like to know that. Then I could put that in there or something.
Of course, I don't know where he got it, but
Okay, so anyways, thank you. Those were words to consider.
Words for me to work on.
Yeah, all of us.
I actually heard it differently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As a Hungarian, I don't know, folklore or something, and it goes where the wise man tells him to take two pillows, two down pillows to the village square, and dust them both in and spread the flower, the feathers everywhere, and then come back, and then it goes, tells him to go get all the feathers.
Which way works?
Same idea.
Yeah. Well, it was those things, I'd like to know. I just completely got off to where I heard those things, but doesn't it? Kind of, it's good to hear.
He told it. His story was similar to what you remember placing on the step.
I think it gets the point across.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always helped me actually, because if you can keep that in mind, the fact that takes on a life of its own and travels, makes you pause a little bit before you say something, you know. Otherwise, don't pause often enough, I think. But, you know.
On the second talk, would you prefer just to watch your own time, or would you want me to put 5 minutes out before you finish and do that? Just whatever's easiest.
Give me the high sign or something 5 minutes before or something.
Do you want me to take that? Back there?
Yeah, yeah.
Or just kind of go by my clock. I didn't know if you like looking down all the time.
You think you can? Well, if you can time it, I'd like you to time it.
Why don't I just go by my watch?
Start it when you first come up here to introduce me, because I want to know if the whole thing can fit within an hour.
All the introduction and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you start?
One time. And then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, you only need to stop it right at the end.
Right.
When I've said my last. Oh, actually, at the end of the prayer when you stop it, obviously.
Start it when you come. Is that right? The end of the prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, would you prefer
first
that?
One, someone else. Oh, except you'll be.
Yeah.
Whatever for what?
Prefer me to take that and
yeah.
Do that for
you? I don't know.
So this will say 100 for 1 hour. Okay, this is an hour, minutes, and seconds. Okay,
right.
Got it. Okay, so you got 8 minutes or so. After 2 hours. Oh.
Well, you don't specify whether you talk to the old nature or the new nature.